Acts chapter number 2. I want to begin reading with verse number 14. Stand with us, if you would, and we'll honor the Bible. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O God, again this morning, thanking you, Father, for every blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be able to come back into your house one more time. Thank you, Lord, for these, our brethren, that are bowed with us. We pray, Lord, your blessings upon each family, every individual, each one that's here today. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil and give us power to preach one more time the unsearchable riches of your word. We ask you now, Lord, to go with us and give us the words that we need to say. Strengthen our body, Lord, this morning. Give us what we stand in need of, and what you do for us, we'll be careful to thank you, and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I want to talk to us this morning, if God will help me for a few minutes. I want to talk to us on the Spirit, on just the Spirit. You know, he is an entity long, if we're not careful this morning, he's an entity of the Godhead, the Trinity, the third part of the Trinity that's most forgotten in our day. He's very less talked about today, and I understand this morning that he didn't come this way. The Spirit of the Lord wasn't sent this way for him to be recognized. But Jesus said when he come that he'd be like me. He said he'd speak of me. And so he speaks nothing of himself, but he speaks of the Lord Jesus. He is who testifies unto us that Jesus is alive and reigns forevermore. Jesus called him the Comforter. He is truly a comforter today in the hearts of every born-again believer. When a person is saved by the grace of God, the Spirit of God takes his abode in their life, in their heart and in their soul. And he lives within them. The Bible tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And the Spirit of God, of Christ in us, that's what he is this morning. He's not an it, but he's a he. He's a third part of the Godhead. He's just as much God is God himself. Amen. Amen. He is not the lesser God, but he's a third of the Trinity and just as important as God the Father and God the Son themselves. And so we know that in the very early onset of the writing of the Bible, he was present in the very creation of all things. The Bible said, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the deep. And so we know how the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost was all present in creation, in the creation account. How when he said, let us make man, how he's talking to the Son and also to the Spirit. How the Bible tells us that when he made man, he made him into the image and the likeness of God himself. And so you find the very image, we find that word again, in Christ Jesus being the very image of God himself. And so we find the Father, the Son, and then the Father breathed into the nostril of man and we see a type of the Spirit there, and how present in the very making of man. Man is an eternal being. He's not temporal. He's not like an animal and just disappears when he dies. But he's an eternal being, and he's going to spend somewhere in eternity forever, either heaven or hell. Those that reject Christ to die and go to hell. Those that receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior will die and go to heaven. So now we know this morning that the Spirit is relevant in the Bible. Amen. How very less is talked about him in our day. We've got to have him today. Amen. And how Jesus told the apostles, the disciples, as he was going away into heaven, he spoke to them and he called him the promise. He said, "Wait for the promise of the Father," he said, "which saith ye have heard of me. And for truly, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And so God himself, the Lord Jesus, promised of the Spirit of God. Peter said, "This is that that was spoken of by the prophet Joel." It has always been in the plan of God that the Spirit of God indwell us. Amen. Jesus said, "He shall be with you and shall be in you." And so we know how every person that's ever been born again has the Spirit of God living within them. And that's the one who is the connection between here and there. We cannot know God apart from his Spirit. And the Bible said, how can a man know a man except of his Spirit? How can I know me except that my Spirit is alive? And how can we know the mind of God apart from his Spirit? Amen. And it dwells on the inside of us. Ephesians called him the earnest part. He is the earnest part of our salvation. He's placed on the inside of us. And the Lord's coming back after them who trusted in him and are filled with the Spirit of God. And so now, the apostles there gathered in the upper room. The Bible said, "In the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting." Amen. And so we're finding in chapter number 2. That God's Spirit now has come down and he's in the house and he's filled the house. Amen. And I want to say today that he still fills the house. Amen. And the Bible said, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And they began to be empowered by the very presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We cannot worship without the presence of the Holy Ghost and the manifestation of God's Spirit in our souls. And what the church is lacking more in our latter days is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit indwelling in the church of the living God, and as individuals, as saints of God. And that God had placed on the inside and ought to come out on the outside, and ought to glorify God and praise his holy name. And too many times we have come to the house of God way too dry. Amen. And my friend, he said, "Them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And there is no worship apart from the Holy Ghost. And amen. And that the presence of the Spirit of God must be in the service when God's people meets together. And that's what made the difference in Peter's day, and that's what'll make the difference in our day. Amen. There's too much worshiping of the flesh. Amen. Trying to worship God in the flesh, and we're not letting the Spirit of God move in our hearts. He said, how the Spirit of God dwells in you. He dwells in me. Don't you feel Him moving in your soul? Don't you feel Him from time to time? Preacher, I knew that something happened to me when I got saved. Let me tell you what happened. The Lord moved in, and He's taken up His abode in your life, and it's never been the same since He's come in. And it never will be the same. And the Bible said, now Peter, the Spirit of God had filled them, and they began to speak with other tongues. Now that tongue, that word tongue, is glossia. It doesn't mean some ooey-gooey language out yonder that maybe a denomination has got a monopoly on. That's not what that is. The Bible said in that day that they were gathered from every nation and every tongue. And the Holy Ghost empowered the disciples with a gift of tongues and to be able to preach and to those nations. And the Bible said that when they preached, the Galileans said, how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born, as they were empowered by the Holy Ghost. And they began to preach, and they began to hear in their own language the glorious gospel that Jesus Christ had come, and He died on the cross and was buried, rose again. And they heard the gospel message through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want you to know this morning how the manifestation of the Holy Ghost is a must. Amen. If we worship Him, you know, it's how when I get up every morning, I don't feel the Holy Ghost in me, but I know He's there, because the Bible tells me that He came in, and He's the comforter of my soul, and He's the one that guides me and empowers me day by day, and He's the one that guides us and leads us in all paths and all truths of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. Not that I would be empowered for Brother William, but that I would be empowered for the Lord Jesus, that He would get glory and be glorified through His Spirit that lives on the inside of me. Amen. Amen. He's the one, my friend, that brings the very person of God. He's the third in the Godhead. A very distinct office. Work today. He's the one that brings conviction in the hearts of sinners. Amen. He's the one that convinces them that they're lost and they need to be saved. My friend, without the Holy Spirit, we're lost forever. The working. Did you know that before Billy Graham was the preacher that he was, that he didn't understand the doctrine of the Holy Ghost? He thought all he done was to preach, until he met a preacher by the name of Stephen Olford over in Europe. And he noticed the anointing of the Holy Ghost on Brother Olford's preaching. And he longed to feel of the anointing in his preaching. So he spent weeks in the hotel room studying about the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Brother Olford began to teach him about the Holy Ghost that was living on the inside of him. And Billy Graham prayed for days that he'd feel the anointing in the preaching of the Word of God through the Spirit of God. And there's many a man of God that is void of the anointing power and the Spirit of God. And they're good to the letter, but they don't have the Spirit. Amen. And so Billy Graham longed for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We've got to have it. You've got to have it. You've got to have it. You've got to have it. Amen. And so one day Billy Graham got under the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost, and multitudes began to come and repent and were saved. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost
if this thing's ever going to get off the ground. Amen. You've got to have him today. The Bible said the very presence was manifested in the upper room with 120 of the church was gathered together, and he began to come in like a mighty rushing wind and gave them fire and power from on high. You got to have him because he's the one that does the performance. Peter said these other men were mocking. The Bible said, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this? What's wrong with these people?" They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking, saying, "These men are full of new wine." Peter said, "No." Said, this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. That God had spoken through him that was to come. The Holy Ghost would empower the church and cause them to perform. Amen, Brother Neil. That song you sung, I know it can only be sung under the anointing power of the Holy Ghost is what touches me. If it's not, it's nothing but it's not praise, but it's man's performance. But when it gets to be praising God in the Holy Ghost, it becomes the Holy Ghost performing. Amen. I'd rather have five people, a pastor, five people that's anointed and filled with the Holy Ghost as to pastor 500 dried up and don't know anything about the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't get up behind this pulpit without expectation. If I didn't expect the Holy Ghost to indwell and the power of God lift us up and preach through us today, I'd go to the house, get in the recliner, cover up, go back to bed. But it takes the anointing power to perform. Amen. Amen. If everything we do has to be under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If it's not, it's nothing but man. That's all that's to it. I'm afraid there's too many programs in the churches today that's been planned by man. They're not biblically taught or biblically guided, spirit guided. There are men sitting here trying to come up with schemes and try to come up with schisms to try to make this thing work. We don't have to do that. We've got all we need. If we just let the Holy Ghost take it over. Amen. He'll be the one to make the difference. He'll be the one to indwell and empower. And when he goes to performing, I tell you, you can't get saved without the performance of the Holy Ghost in your heart. He's the one who does the work. Amen. The Bible said now, he's the one that does that work. This is that was spoken of by the prophet. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days that God, he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Yeah. He said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I'm going to tell you, in the days gone by, and you'll remember it. You'll remember 30 years ago. You can go back 30, some 40 years ago, where the church let the Holy Ghost have his way. Preachers oftentimes would become a dime a dozen. Rarely would a preacher even have to preach. And when he did preach, he had to find a place to get in because the other preachers were preaching. I've been in meetings where some as high as six preachers preaching at one time. And I was one of them. And we was passing one another, going up and down the aisles. How the Holy Ghost, somebody said, how do you know what anybody was saying? We weren't worried about what somebody was thinking about we were saying. The Holy Ghost saved and the Holy Ghost empowered. We've seen the Spirit of God manifested in his church and seen great things happen, and so did you. On this little scope of ground that I'm standing on and across the parking lot, do you remember the day when the daughters and son got up and prophesied and testified and told prophecy? It just means proclaiming. Amen. Now there's a difference in preaching and a preacher. Amen. Those folks began to testify. Ain't nothing wrong with a woman testifying. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with a sister getting excited in the Holy Ghost and tell about the goodness of God. Amen. Get up and empowered by the Spirit of God. Amen. Nothing wrong when young men get up, testify, and get empowered by the Holy Ghost. Where's that at today? If this Peter's talking about is that Joel talked about, where is this now where we're supposed to be that today? Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost got to move in this place if it's going to make a difference. Amen. He said to older men to dream dreams. Listen. He said, and see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Amen. You know what there's a dreaming about? There's a dreaming about their grandbabies and their great-great-grandbabies, that this would not leave the church, that it would always be in the church. And there's dreaming of a future. I tell you, I long to see the day where my little grandbabies can get in the kind of meeting that I've been in, where the Holy Ghost has empowered them, and they get to feeling the power of the Spirit of God, that He'd make a difference in their lives. And they'd say, yes. I'm going to tell you, I feel sorry for our little children. Amen. These little babies right here hadn't been where you've been and where I've been. These little babies here hadn't been where you and I've been. These little girls ain't been where you and I've been. Oh, where mamas and daddies shout all over the house. Amen. Folks of praise God, let your hair down, your makeup run, loosen your tie, hallelujah, and just go ahead and let the Holy Ghost have His way. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm telling you, we need an old-fashioned Holy Ghost performance in His church today. Amen. The Holy Ghost still pricks people's hearts today. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord told Saul, He said, you can't kick against the pricks. What's He talking about? The Spirit of God is convicting and pricking the hearts of sinners. And it's hard to get away from that. Yeah, I tell you, they've been a many a time. I never will forget. Never will forget. You won't either, probably, in your experiences, but I'll never forget the first time the Holy Ghost pricked my heart and I got under conviction. I run. I got up, run out of the church house. I was so scared, it scared me to death. I thought, my, I don't have to have none of this. I don't have to feel like this anymore. And the only thing I knew to do, I was to get out of that place. But it wasn't long that I found out it didn't make any difference in the Holy Ghost if I was in the four walls of a church house or out yonder hauling hay. The Holy Ghost wouldn't let us sleep. He wouldn't let us get comfortable. He always would come around. Every once in a while, He'd move again. I'd think about church, and He'd move again. I'd get scared again. Out yonder. But one day, as a 16-year-old boy, I said, yes! I'm a coming, Lord. I'm a coming on. I took a step of faith in the Holy Ghost and got saved. Amen. He'll prick your heart. I've seen sinners break under the power and the pricking of the Holy Ghost. Yes, great big men that could fight a circular saw and win. But I've seen them buckle under the Holy Ghost pricking when He touched their heart and they go to weeping. Never will forget, brother. You remember Brother Roger Tankersley? And I say this because it's so unusual. Brother Roger was preaching one time. There was a big man sitting in the back of the house. And Brother Roger was preaching hard and preaching against sin. And about that time, he gave the invitation. And he walked back there. He saw the tears in that man's eyes. And he went back there. And the man was held up against the bench. And Brother Roger came over beside him and said, would you like to go to the altar? And the man spit in his face. I mean, just spit in his eyes. And he couldn't see. He had it all over his glasses, all over his face. And Brother Roger began to weep and pull his glasses off and said, sir, he said, could you hand me your napkin, your handkerchief? And the man reached in his pocket, got him, and gave his handkerchief, broke down, and made his way to the altar and got saved. You can't fight the pricking of the Holy Ghost. Real Holy Ghost conviction, my friend, will not leave you here. It'll reach you out there. We've got to have it. Peter said he has manifested at Pentecost. And by the way, the Church of God don't have a monopoly on the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen. So don't you Baptists. I had a fellow call me here not long ago and said there's a preacher called him and told him we're not having none of that Holy Ghost stuff over here at our Baptist church. Said we're not having it. Said it's in the Old Testament. It's not for today. And he said, I will not get a preacher to come over here under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's what's wrong with the churches today. They ain't got enough of the Holy Ghost in them. Amen. The people will not manifest him in their lives, church. We need a moving of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. I'm talking about real Holy Ghost anointing. Somebody said, I thought that was just for the preacher. No, it's not. Amen. You remember when the disciples were gathered in the room and Thomas wasn't there, and Jesus breathed on them and told them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And then he comes in to Pentecost, and he not only empowers the disciples when he breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost, but he empowered the church here. He empowered the church here as the wind blew upon all of them, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost. Not just the disciples, but all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. They're happy, and they said, boy, these folks are drunk on new wine. He said not to be drunk in excess with wine, but rather be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I believe that there are fillings of the Holy Ghost. I believe the Holy Ghost come initially on the church, and I believe he comes in to the hearts and the lives of people. But I believe every once in a while, amen, we ought to get a filling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Somebody said, what's happened to her? She got a filling of the Holy Ghost. You don't put gas in your vehicle one time and it drives all the time, do you? Well, we need a filling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, preacher, how do I get it? Right here. Get it on your knees. Cry out to God that the Holy Ghost empower you. Somebody said the other day, said, I talked to somebody. And it was telling me what they said to that person. I said, you couldn't have said that. The Holy Ghost had to say that through you. We don't have the mind to do that. We can't do that. We have to have the Spirit of God to tell us what to say. He said, don't carry no script, no coat, no script to tell an hour. He said, the Spirit of God will give you what you need in the same self hour that you need to say it in. We've got to have the Spirit of God. This morning, let me ask you, when was the last time the Holy Ghost has been manifested in you? Manifested means showing up to the outside. Our children, our grandchildren, they're longing to see something out of mama and daddy and grandmamas and granddaddies. You know why they won't hardly come to church when you invite them? It's no different than out yonder in here. Let me say that again. You know why grandmothers and grandfathers can't get grandchildren and great-grandchildren to go to church? It's because there's nothing there. There's nothing to show them there. And so why would they have a desire? They can sit over there more comfortable than they can sit over here. And I want to tell you, this ain't a sitting place. This is a getting place. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You remember, I can't hush. I'm trying to hush. I really am. I just can't. It just keeps on coming. I'm wanting to go. And the Holy Ghost won't let me go. You remember when Abraham, when the Lord came to Abraham and told Abraham that he's going to have a baby, that Sarah's going to have a child. You remember that? You remember what Abraham done, what Sarah done? She laughed. She laughed. Somebody said, well, shame on her. You know why she laughed? She was filled with the Holy Ghost. That holy laugh came upon her. Yeah. And so she was so overwhelmed and thrilled until she called her son Isaac, which means laughter. She wanted to be reminded of the day when the Lord touched her and she laughed. Every time she sees her son, she said, amen. Amen. Somebody said, oh, shame on Sarah. Oh, no.
I tell you, it thrilled me to see some of you go laughing in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Proud that the Holy Ghost moved on your heart. In my heart today. Amen. We need the Spirit of God. Loose him and let him go. Let's stand this morning.